performer for the Elo. Welcome to Lovey Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you, as we're going to be joined in segment number two by one of our good friends, as Shaggy Betts, a.k.a. Nate Horning. He's going to be joining me. We're going to take a look at not just the Final Four, but we're also going to chat it up with him about the NIT. He takes a look at some of these smaller tournaments that we've got. Have to talk about whether or not the, shall we say, swirling UNC rumors around Tommy Lloyd are going to be a little bit of a distraction, and how he takes a look at those two games that we're going to be getting in Indianapolis over the weekend. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on both the NIT Final Four and the Crown as we hit some bank shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, large CM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. Then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Well, I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today. We had a fun day of college basketball on Wednesday because we actually had games back. Let's take a look at both of them, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Oklahoma manages to survive 90-86 in overtime against Colorado. If you, like me, had the under, well, that was much of the chagrin that it went to overtime. But for Nigel Pack, 20 points, he led the way for Oklahoma. Shaky night from three-point range for Oklahoma, 10 of 37. For Colorado, they go 7-23, but for Oklahoma, 28 out of 32 at the free throw line. They do win the turnover battle, 15-9. Barrington Argus did all he did for the Buffaloes. He was able to go out there, put up 31 points. They were without a few players in this game, but I mean, most of these teams were relatively full-staffed in the Crown, so you do like to see that 7-23 from three for Colorado. And for Colorado, they did win the rebound battle, 45-38, so they do not get the win, but they get the cover in that one. And then for Baylor, they just completely dump truck Minnesota in this game. Final seconds are waning as I do this, as I have to have this up at midnight Pacific, 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern, but looks like this will land 67-48, so another under in this game. And for Minnesota, just very, very short staff. They had just one player play more than 1 minute off the bench in this game. For Minnesota, 3 of 23 from three-point range. Cade Tyson did his best, 19.7 rebounds, and for Minnesota, they were able to do an okay job in terms of limiting Baylor's scoring chances, as this game was very slow. But for Minnesota, they lose the turnover battle 8-5. They lose the rebound battle 37-29. And for Baylor, they had on their side Tone Yusufu, 19.7 rebounds. Cam McCarry drives things with 15.9 rebounds. So they do find a way to be able to get the job done. No James Nnaji in this game for Baylor. Perhaps he's going to be looking for his next professional contract. That did not work out for them, to say the least. But if you are taking a look at trend-wise, what we're getting in college basketball, this dates back to the beginning of the Sweet 16 with the last 7 days in college basketball. 9-unders is 7-overs, and if you're looking at the favorites against the spread, they have went 8-9 in that time span. Actually, with this game, it's now 10-unders to 7-overs. I was omitting that to start with, but 10-unders is 7-overs over the last 7 days, and overall for the season, it's been an underdog and an under season. 2,913 unders, 2,826 overs, so 50.7% to the under. The underdogs hang at about 51.5%, 2,954, 2,784 against the spread. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now. That's where we're all getting trend-wise. Coming next, let's take a look at the NIT Final Four and the main Final Four with our good friend in Nate Horning, better known as Shaggy. That's right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Side edges college basketball season? Well, VSiN experts use CBB Analytics, the most comprehensive college basketball analytics platform in the world. See injury impact on and off data, clutch time performance metrics, first versus second half splits, and so much more. Utilize the promo code of VSiN, that is V-S-I-N, to get $30 off and find your betting edge over at cbbanalytics.com. That is cbbanalytics, all one word, .com. For anyone that is new to VSiN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSiN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Las Vegas for Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man as we've got Nate Horning aboard. He does such great work over at Your Betting News, taking a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. But I know that he's dialed in on a little bit of everything. Football, both forms, soccer and American football, obviously college basketball, pretty much all things with regards to college sports, you name it, he does it. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X at Shaggy_bets all together. And Nate, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yep, it's great being here, Greg. I'm excited to talk some college hoops. We've only got a finite amount of college basketball left, so we got to take advantage of those spots.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that because everyone is locked in on the Final Four, very, very rightfully so. The biggest games that we're going to be seeing all season long, but how much do you take a look at these NIT games that we're getting on Thursday along with the Crown? Because still think that there's some nice betting opportunities there. And while everyone is locked in on what we're going to get in the Final Four, I feel like you could get some more value on these smaller games.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's kind of a theory I use all college basketball season wise is, you know, the odds makers are so focused on the Final Four, right? Having those lines as pinpoint as possible. What do they care about the NIT and the CBC? That's kind of what I think all season long. And, you know, they're obviously very focused on the UNC versus the Duke, the Kansas versus the Houston, but you can find a lot of spots in those mid-major games as well, just because those lines might not be as sharp. So I still see plenty of betting opportunities with the College Basketball Crown and the NIT, and I'm excited to talk about all of it here.
Absolutely. And how about if we do talk a little bit about the NIT? Because there's not a ton of people are locked in on it, but I know that you are. And we've got ourselves two, I think, relatively good matchups. As I do think that's going to be interesting to see what we get in that New Mexico versus Tulsa game, with New Mexico being about a 3.5-point favorite. And I want to get your thoughts here, because I do think that this being a neutral court game is a little bit to the detriment of Tulsa. New Mexico has been such a great 3-point shooting defense, and Tulsa is a team that has really cooked from three. Want to get your thoughts on this game, because I do think that the defense of New Mexico puts me a little bit over the top on the Lobos getting the job done here.
No notes, Greg. You took the words right out of my mouth there. I am all over the Lobos, plus the 4.5 is actually what I snagged. 3.5 is totally fine because I like the Lobos to win this game outright. You know, they are a top 60 team in terms of efficiency on both offense and defense. They're also top 60 in turnover rate on both sides of the ball as well. They're going to push the pace. You know, they're a top 50 team in tempo, and you said it. Tulsa shoots a ton of threes, and they do so well. You got to give them credit. They're top 40 in the country in three-point rate, top 5 in three-point percentage, knocking them down at almost a 39% clip as a team. But that Lobos defense, they know how to defend, especially on the perimeter, top 10 in the country in opponent three-point percentage. They hold their foes to just about 30% from beyond the arc. So I think New Mexico has the better defense in this matchup. I think they're better equipped offensively to shine in a shootout. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see in this game, is the Lobos pushing the pace and being able to cover this 4.5-point spread or even win the game outright. So I am all over the Lobos in that first NIT semifinal.
And then in the other game, you've got Auburn as about a 6.5-point favorite against Illinois State. And I want to get your thoughts here, because Auburn, rightfully so, they are the odds-on favorite to be able to win the NIT. I would say that they're the most talented team in this entire field, but I believe they have now covered 2 out of their last 14 games. They just have been overvalued since the end of January. I feel like this could be another case where Auburn wins the game, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to cover this number with the way that Illinois State doesn't allow a lot of second and third chances. And Illinois State has a full allotment of guys, while Auburn, they lost Keshawn Murphy, who just opted out for the NIT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not willing to back Auburn on the spread at all, but I do got to give the Tigers their flowers, because, you know, a team that just barely missed out on the NCAA tournament, they could have just kind of rolled over and died and not really had much motivation going into this NIT tournament. But they've been playing well, they've been winning games, and they find themselves in the semifinals here. But I'm going to be on the over, actually, in this game. Illinois State and Auburn over the 149.5. Neither team is aggressively fast, but if you look at Auburn, they have jumped 30 spots in the national poll in terms of pace in the last 10 games. So they've definitely been picking it up a little bit and playing much faster. They've got a fantastic offense, but a not so great defense, especially on the perimeter. This Auburn team, bottom 25 in the nation in opponent 3-point percentage. The Redbirds, they're already top 106 in the country in terms of three-point rate, but in their last 10 games, they've been shooting them a whole lot more. Typically, about 43% of their shots come from downtown. In their last 10 games, that number is closer to about 48%. So nearly half of their shots coming from downtown. I think they're going to be able to take advantage from deep facing this weaker Auburn perimeter defense. So I like the over in this game, over 149.5 in Illinois State and Auburn. And I'm right there with you. This is a game that Auburn probably finds a way to win, but I am not willing to lay that number with the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. They just have not been covering spreads over the last 2 months at this point. So I'm in complete and utter agreement there. And just how much do you want to take a look at motivation this time of year? Because obviously the four teams in the NIT, I feel like if you've gone this far, you've got motivation. But I think that's really big in the Crown Tournament. And that leads me into thinking that Creighton might be able to make a run in this tournament. Right now, they're about 4 or so point favorites against Rutgers. As we know, Greg McDermott, this is going to be a swan song. Alan Huss is going to be taking over after this. And I just feel like when it comes to a wonky event like the Crown, we see it in college football bowl season all the time. The team that wants it the most is the team that gets it. And I feel like Creighton might actually really want this for Greg McDermott.
Oh yeah. You know, it'd be a great way to send him off. Obviously the season didn't go as you would have expected if you're a Creighton Blue Jay fan, but it's a nice way to, you know, send him off into the sunset, give him a nice trophy to end the season. So I'm right there with you, especially with this Crown Tournament only being an 18 field this season, opposed to 16 last year. You know, I think Creighton definitely the top dog in the Crown. I would also maybe look a little bit towards the Oklahoma Sooners, just with, you know, another Power 5 team playing very good basketball, especially on the offensive side of things. And they got a 60-year senior, Nigel Pack, that, you know, he doesn't want his college career to end, right? So I think single-handedly he'll do whatever it takes to keep the Sooners season rolling. But I'm right there with you. I think Creighton would be a great pick to win the college basketball crown.
Yeah, I was very surprised that Nigel Pack actually took part in the Crown event, but here he is. We're not sure how that game for Wednesday went quite yet as we're recording this, but I'm right there with you. Think that there's some great value there, and there's no need to gauge motivation for the Final Four, as our good friend Nate Horning, a.k.a. Shaggy Betts, is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, because if you're not geared up for the Final Four, I don't know what you're doing here. We've got four teams remaining, Illinois versus UConn and Michigan versus Arizona, and I want to get your thoughts on that UConn versus Illinois game, because I think that this is a de facto team that just gets swallowed up by either Michigan or Arizona, but I think that's such an intriguing matchup with Illinois currently being the 2 to 2.5 point favorite in a lot of spots, and for UConn, they haven't necessarily looked overly dominant, aside from perhaps the second half in that game against UCLA, but they keep finding a way, and I just keep going back to this. With Illinois taking as many threes as they do playing in a football stadium, I feel like UConn has a chance to win this game outright, and personally, I felt like they should have been the very slim favorite.
I'm with you. I was a little bit surprised that Illinois was the favorite in this game. I mean, you're getting Dan Hurley as an underdog. How often does that happen? So I'm torn on a side here. I actually have a 40-1 Illini future that I'm holding on to in my back pocket. So I'm really rooting for the Illini, but not sure I can double down and take them in this game. But I am liking the under in this contest. 139.5 is what I am seeing. And, you know, the way Illinois has been playing defense, they have been rock solid, allowing less than 60 points in their last three tournament games. And I really think they're a matchup nightmare on both sides of the floor for really anyone that they face, but especially this UConn Huskies team that doesn't shoot all that well from downtown. They certainly can. And obviously we saw Braylon Mullins knock down the one that mattered against Duke. But if Illinois goes to that 2-3 zone where they're very long, where they're very good at contesting shots, whether it be in the corner, on the free throw line extended, I think it's going to be tough for the Huskies to score. But down at the other end, UConn, very, very good defensively as well. I'll be targeting the under in this game, 139.5. I think both coaches are going to be a little cautious, maybe not as aggressive, especially in the first 20 minutes or so, trying to feel out the other team and see what they're capable of. I like the under in this game. I will be rooting for the Illini with that future in my back pocket, but nothing on a side from me here.
Yep, I don't blame you there. Personally, I just can't go against Dan Hurley being able to get plus money on the money line. We'll be looking there, but certainly I'm with you on that under as well. And then I just feel like with the Arizona versus Michigan game, this is a de facto title game. No matter if Illinois or UConn wins the other game, they're going to be underdogs whoever wins this game. Right now, it's Arizona who finds themselves as the underdog in a lot of cases of about a point and a half, 1 point. Want to get your thoughts here because if you're looking at like the peak form of a team, the absolute best of the best. I think that Michigan's best might be a little bit better than Arizona's best, but I feel like Arizona's been more consistent throughout the season and a little bit more well-rounded than Michigan. Want to get your thoughts here because this one has a lot of people completely torn. Personally, I landed on the side of thinking that Arizona deserved to be the very slim favorite, but I truly think we're getting the best two teams in all of college basketball. And I think that you're really splitting hairs between both teams.
Yeah, you said it. This is a coin flip. This is, you know, the real national championship, however you want to call it. You know, it's a toss-up between these two teams. I am going to be betting Arizona. I'm going to just take them outright on the money line, but I was going to bet the underdog in this game regardless of whoever it was, because, you know, in my mind, getting Michigan or Arizona with a plus sign next to their money line, that's value in my opinion. I think either team at plus money is the way to go. So we see Arizona as the slight dog in this instance. So I'll take the Wildcats. And you know, it really does work out for me because I've actually got Arizona cutting down the nets in my bracket, but in a Calcutta pool, I've actually got the Wolverines. So, you know, a bit of a emotional hedge for me, you could say, taking the Wildcats. But I agree with you. I think Arizona has been very consistent all season long. You've got two very, very, very good front courts. All right. These guys like to play through their big men and get their big men touches in the post, look to kick out to the shooters on the outside. But ultimately, they play kind of old school basketball, pounding the ball inside, getting to the block and really impeding on the glass. But I like Arizona a little bit more. I think they are a little deeper and do have a few more scoring options than Michigan. So I like the Wildcats in this spot. But again, I was going to bet the underdog in this game, regardless of who it was. It just happens to be Arizona. So give me the Wildcats on the money line.
Yep, don't blame me there. I am in agreement with you. I'm going to be in Arizona on the money line as well. And I know that there's a lot of people buzzing about this because obviously the North Carolina coaching search, it is on. Looks like they're going to be going outside the family for the first time in over 60 years. But is there any concern whatsoever with Tommy Lloyd popping up in a lot of these talks of the North Carolina job? Because to me, I think that it's a lot of noise. And any big-time coaches being talked about? We've heard a few rumors with Dusty May perhaps being attached to the job, a little bit more with Tommy Lloyd, obviously, but I think that there's a lot of people making a big deal out of it when, in reality, I don't think that means anything whatsoever. Do want to get your thoughts if you see it a little bit differently, but I just feel like a lot of people are looking to make noise just for the sake of making noise in this case.
You said it. You know, the reporters, they got to ask their questions. They got to drum up the stories, whatever it may be. But, you know, Tommy kind of said in a press conference earlier, it's just distractions, that all it is. And he's a professional, right? He's been in this situation before. He's been the head coach there for a long time. So I think he's very focused on what's ahead, focused on taking down Michigan in the Final Four. He's not worried about next season. He's not worried about the next step because he's not done with this season. Tommy Lloyd and Arizona, they came in to this season knowing, hey, we're going to be a national championship contender. That is our main goal, cutting down the nets in Indianapolis in early April. And that job's not finished yet. All right. He can't move on to another coaching job because this one is not finished quite yet. And so I trust Tommy Lloyd to be focused, to have his entire team focused as well, and looking ahead to facing Michigan on Saturday. So I'm not too worried about any noise regarding Tommy Lloyd going to UNC.
Yep. No concerns about his focus, just like I have no concerns about yours either, Nate, because every single time you join me, you fire on all cylinders. You always get the job done, and you're doing such great work over at Your Betting News on a wide variety of different platforms. Platforms there, so love the good people at home. Know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep, absolutely. You can find me on all social media platforms at Shaggy_bets. You can find me weekdays, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern, hosting the morning spread on the Betting News Network, and catch all of my written work at bettingnews.com.
Absolutely. Nate, he's doing such a great job looking at this great game of college basketball, and every single time he joins me, lots such great insights. So big thanks to Nate for joining me right here on Custom Cuts Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. They give you picks and analysis on all four games on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots. And we're back here your lovey Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be able to get Nate Horning aboard, a.k.a. Shaggy Betts. He does such a tremendous job looking at this great game of college basketball over at Your Betting News. Every single time he joins me, he lends such great insights and did so once again today. So a big thanks to Nate for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter / X feed at @unit_D1. We're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we'll go with the two NIT games first, and then the two crown games are going to be at the bottom, all in time order. So how about if we get things started? 641, 642, it's Tulsa playing against New Mexico. This is going to be from Hinklefield House out there in the great state of Indiana. New Mexico, a 3.5 to a 4-point favorite. Totals anywhere between 161 to a 161.5, and I did land on the under in this ordeal, mainly because I think that the New Mexico defense is going to be able to go out there, dominate this game. You've got a New Mexico team that has been really good in terms of guarding the three-point line all season long. They are allowing teams to shoot 29.3% from three-point range. That is 7th in all of college basketball, 45th in the country in terms of turnovers generated on a per-possession basis, and the 29.3% is specifically away from home from New Mexico, but still, they do a great job in terms of guarding the three-point line. Kemi vulnerable on the inside, but Tulsa is outside the top 100 with regards to their two-point shooting percentage. Despite being a top 20 team in terms of points per possession, bread is buttered with regards to their three-point shooting at 38.9%. So this is on a total of a 157 here, like that under. And for Tulsa, they've been okay in terms of not allowing a lot of second and third chances. Ian Smichael has been able to give you about 3.5 to 4 rebounds per game. Tyler Barron has been able to chip in there 6.5 points, 5 boards, and then you've really got your big three out there in the backcourt. Miles Barnesable, he supplies 15 points per game, shoots 41% from three. David Green, 15.5 points, 4.5 boards, 39.5% three-point shooter. And then Tylan Riley shoots darn near 40% from three, throws in there about 4.4 assists, 15 points per game. And to the credit of Tulsa, when they get to the free throw line, they sink their free throws. They shoot 77.9% at the free throw line. New Mexico has been pretty solid in terms of not allowing free throw attempts. They're a team that is a little bit above country average in terms of fewest fouls committed on a per-possession basis, so they've been able to do a relatively solid job there. And then you've got Jake Hall, who's done a great job in terms of leading the team with 16 points. She's 45% from three. Dayton Albury is a 39% three-point shooter. For like for New Mexico, they're a top 50 three-point shooting team as well. 36.3% has traveled relatively well. Like I said, a little bit vulnerable on the inside, but Tulsa doesn't necessarily have, shall we say, the biggest force down low with New Mexico's ability to be able to generate turnovers. And I do think that this is going to be a game in which you're going to see a little bit of tempo, but it's not going to be warp speed or anything like that. When you take a look at this New Mexico team in terms of total possessions per game, they're about 107th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Tulsa's 116th. So I like the under. I set my total at a 157, and I'm going to be willing to lay with New Mexico. I'm willing to go up to a 5 with them. And then 643, 644, Illinois State and Auburn do battle. Auburn is a favorite of 6.5 points. Tulsa's game, it is a 149 to a 149.5, and I do like the over in this game. I set my total at a 150 at 3.5. Auburn has just been wretched on defense in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. This team is checking in outside the top 290 in all of college basketball. Meanwhile, you got an Illinois State team that has been giving up over 20 points more per 100 possessions away from home rather than at home, but even with having some woes away from home, it is still an Illinois State team that has been a top 50 team in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, approximately 39th, and they don't allow second and third chances. 11th in the country in terms of defensive rebound percentage. Teams grab just 23.2% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. And for Auburn, who's been a rock solid offense or a top 40 team in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, they rely upon offensive rebounds. 34.6% of their missed shots become an offensive rebound. 20th in the country. They're also 6th in the country in terms of percentage of their possessions that end in a free throw. And for Illinois State, they're a top 125 team in terms of fewest free throw attempts allowed on a per possession basis. So I think that this is a good matchup for Illinois State. Obviously, they're going to be a little bit out-athleted down low, but Chase Walker gives you 13.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. Keyshawn Murphy opted out of the NIT for Auburn. He was really the top rebounder during the regular season. Slide ups out the answer guys, Terry Coleman, Bowden Skunberg. They combine for about 19.4 points per game, and between the two of them for Illinois State, they shoot about 40% from three. Johnny Kinzinger, he had a rough start to the season from the outside, started to heat up a little bit more, so he'll give you 12.5 points, 3.3 assists per contest. Illinois obviously not going to put you under duress. They're well outside the top 235 in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis, but Auburn's not necessarily the greatest outside shooting team. They're outside the top 175, shooting 33.7% from three. Taj Pettiford continues to shoot just 28.4% from three. Now, Keyshawn Hall is going to be the best player out there on the floor, 19.5 points, 7 boards, 2.5 assists, shoots about 38% from three. Kevin Overton has come on strong. He's been able to give you 13.5 points per game. Caden Magwood hasn't seen a lot of action this year, but they've given him some more minutes in the NIT. He had 14 big points in that game against South Alabama, so they've got a little bit of something there. But with this Auburn team, they have covered just 2 of their last 16 games, with Illinois State doing such a good job on the glass, I think that they hold in this game. So semi-total at 153.5, like the over and the points here with Illinois State. Now we get the 2 crown games, 895, 896. Stanford is going to be playing against West Virginia. This is from Lovey Las Vegas, and right now with West Virginia, find them as a 1 to a 1.5 point underdog, so it's between 135.5 to 136.5, and I like the over. I did set my total at a 138. Now, this is a West Virginia team that, if you look at them in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis this year, they have been 28th in the country. That dips all the way to 167th when they're away from home, though. And Stanford, they're 168th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis away from home. So, very even Steven there. Stanford, by far the better offense. West Virginia, 207th in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. Stanford is 104th. And let's say that you do get a tight game, which I do think that you're going to get. West Virginia, 130th in the country, shooting 67.7% at the free line. Meanwhile, Stanford, more country average at about 73.1%. Stanford has been a top 125 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage away from home, and you've been able to get good production of Abuka Okoro, about 23 points per game, shooting 36% from three-point range. They had to change things around with the Chisholm Okpara injury towards the middle part of the season, but Benny Giler has been able to Giler done 1 point. She's 41% from three-point range in the absence of Okpara. You've been able to get a little bit more down low from one of their big men in AJ Rossi, a true 7-footer that's able to give you 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. And for West Virginia, you do have Harlan Obiana, a true 7-footer, who's been able to do a relatively solid job down low for the team. He's been able to throw in there about 5.5 or so rebounds per game. Honoroff, he gives you 16 points, shoots about 35% from 3-point. But for West Virginia, well outside the top 210 with their 3-point shooting percentage at 32.8%. They are outside the top 150 with their 2-point shooting percentage. A team that's done a relatively okay job on the glass, or a top 140 team with regards to their overall rebound percentage, but don't generate a ton of turnovers either. Think that Stanford finds a way to get it done in a tight game. Do recognize that West Virginia, a very, very slow team. Out of 365 Division I teams, this team clocking in terms of total possessions frame at 352nd. But again, they're just not the same defense away from them. So like the over here, and with Stanford, willing to lay up to 1.5 with them. And then 897, 898 is how we wrap it up. Creighton, they're going to be playing against Rutgers. Rutgers does find themselves as a underdog here of 3.5 to 4.5 points. And your total is 151 to 151.5. Like the under, semi-total out of 149. Rutgers just not executing on offense. They are 255th in the country in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, and 337th with their 2-point shooting percentage. Now, Creighton is not amazing with their defense. We're in 13th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. A little bit slower than what we've seen in the past as well. Rutgers, they're always a pretty slow team, 262nd in the country in terms of total possessions per game. When it comes to Creighton, they're more around about 201st, but for Creighton, it's a big motivation spot for them. And typically I'm not much of a motivational angle guy or anything like that, but when it comes to an event like the Crown, this is almost like a college football bowl game for those of you guys that do college football, where motivation, I do think it's king in an event like this. And this is going to be Greg McDermott's swan song, and you have to feel like these guys are going to want to send him out on top. Austin Schwartz dealt with injury towards the back half of the season, but he's been able to give the team 11 points, shoot 38% from three. Jason Green, Blake Harper both shot approximately 35.8% from 3-point. They haven't had a lot down low this season because Owen Freeman, Jackson McAndrew dealt with injury all throughout, but Josh Hicks is able to give you 13 points per game. And for Rutgers, he just expected the low post play to be a little bit better. Top 125 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage, and Emmanuel Agboole has been able to give you 4.6 points, 6 boards, and a block per contest, but he is essentially the lone guy in the roster that gives you over 4.3 rebounds per game. Dylan Grant, 10 points, 4.5 boards. He's been a solid player for this team. And Darren Buchanan has stepped up to be able to give you a little bit of outside shooting, 8.5 points on 35% 3-point shooting. Derek Francis has had to be the entire offense, 17 points, 3 assists, shoots 36% from 3. But with this Rutgers team, they are also just absolutely terrible at guarding the arc. 35.8% is what opponents shoot from 3. That is outside the top 290 in all of college basketball. And Creighton, they're very much built around their perimeter play. So do they faith that Crane finds a way to get the job done here, like the undersub I told 149 and 108 to 6.5 with the Blue Jays, and that'll wrap things up for the Thursday edition of Coast to Coast Soups, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to our guy, Nate Horning, better known as Shaggy Betts, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever, for this podcast, you have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter, /xtimeline, @gunit_d1. Keep in mind, letters DM, they mean does not matter, so for usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys with fix and analysis on every single game, every single day, so I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much.